FroggiesFog.com, makers of the finest fog, smoke, snow, and scents, brings you the big scary news with your host, Drew Badger. Featuring the most up-to-date news and information in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry. In addition, the Big Scary News features an interview you won't find anywhere else, brought to you by Gantom Lighting and Controls. And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Froggy's Fog brings you the Big Scary News.
Shaking in the outer limits. Now, it may get a little hairy once in a while, but don't let it flip you out.
We start off with some sad news from Hollywood via thehollywoodreporter.com. Michael Massey, the actor who unfortunately will forever be known as the man who accidentally shot and killed Brandon Lee on the set of the 1994 film The Crow, has died. He was 61. Massey's death was first announced by actor Anthony DeLon and confirmed to The Hollywood Reporter by a representative of his agent in Los Angeles. He and DeLon recently worked together on the French TV series Interventions. In just his second movie appearance, Massey was playing a character known as Fun Boy when he fired a revolver that had been improperly prepared by a crew member at Brandon Lee, the son of famed martial arts star Bruce Lee. The round was live and struck Lee in the stomach, and he died after several hours of surgery on March 31, 1993, at the age of 28. Massey was just following the script during filming at a studio in Wilmington, North Carolina. Shaken by the incident, he took a sabbatical from acting that lasted more than a year. Quote, "I don't think you ever get over something like that," unquote, he said. Most of The Crow, directed by Alex Proyas, had been completed before the tragedy, and the film was released in May 1994. A native of Kansas City, Massey worked opposite Bill Pullman in two films released in 97, David Lynch's Lost Highway and Wim Wenders' The End of Violence, and in the 2005 NBC series Revelations. His film resume also included the David Fincher films Seven and The Game, as well as One Fine Day, Amistad, The Florentine, Corky Romano, Catwoman, and The Amazing Spider-Man 2. The Big Scary Show extends its deepest condolences to the family, friends, and fans of Michael Massey and offers up this moment of silence. We have a little bit of news from the Scares That Care charity. Scares That Care is casting roles for featured and background actors for an upcoming commercial shoot. The date of the shoot will be Sunday, November 13th, beginning at 10 a.m. This indoor shoot will be taking place in northern Baltimore County in Maryland. There are background roles that are needed. They need 20 to 30 horror fans who are ready to fight. A feature role includes a little girl ages 8 to 10, must have some acting ability. There is running involved. She will be chased, so mobility is required. Breast cancer. An evil woman. The age or race is unimportant. Think of every uptight, ignorant woman you've ever met. T-shirt size required. Running required. Childhood illness. A thin, gaunt male. Age or race unimportant. Running is also required. Burn injury. Male or female. Spiked hair a plus. And of course, running is required. Two henchmen, suits and ties. Think Men in Black or Agent Smith from The Matrix. And again, running is required. All of the above, with the exception of the henchmen, will have lines. There is no pay for this commercial, which supports the Scares That Care charity organization. Drinks and snacks will be provided. Please send a headshot, a resume, email of interest to joe@scaresthatcare.org. And of course, get more information on this very worthwhile charity at www.scaresthatcare.org. We have an update from the band GWAR. Everyone's famous favorite armor-clad heavy metal shock rockers GWAR are finally getting their own comic series. A Kickstarter page was launched recently to help the band and comic creators make this crazy nightmare a reality. Matt Miner has stepped up to the plate, extending the mythos of the band into a four-issue full-color series where the band travels through time to shape the future, just like their live shows. Expect lots of blood, bodily fluids, and laughs on every page. The fun thing about this story is that it's a GWAR through time concept, Miner explains, so we have a lot more creative freedom. Think of it like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure if Bill and Ted were alien monsters who went on a bender and killed everything in their way while they made a bunch of fart jokes. You can donate at Kickstarter.com and search for GWAR. And of course, we'll keep you up to date on this as we get information. We have this update from the Mad Monster Party 2017 in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Mark Patton will never sleep again at Mad Monster Party 2017. Mark Patton from A Nightmare on Elm Street 2 joins the madness in Rock Hill, South Carolina, March 24th through the 26th. Don't miss your chance to meet the first male Scream Queen. He is awesome with his fans. Advanced discount tickets are now on sale, and there are a limited number of discounted rooms now available. Discount tickets and rooms will go fast, so get yours ASAP at www.madmonster.com. We have this news on a TV series based off of William Shakespeare via Playbill.com. The Lifetime Network is planning a horror anthology series based on Shakespeare's plays. A&E Studios is developing A Midsummer's Nightmare, which will borrow characters and plot lines from the Bard's dramas and turn them into season-long contemporary horror mysteries, according to Variety. The season would kick off on a date to be announced, with a plot drawn from A Midsummer Night's Dream, written by Anthony Jaswinski. It's described thus. Two young lovers on a getaway in the woods wind up in a struggle to survive as friends arrive to lure them home. Each season would be developed from a different play. No other plays were listed, though many of the Bard's works, notably Macbeth and Titus Andronicus, have strong horror elements. We have this news on a new Friday the 13th movie via Bloody-Disgusting.com. Recently, Bloody Disgusting detailed the troubled history of the next Friday the 13th, which appears to be back on track for release on October 13th, 2017. The Crazies' Brett Eisner is in talks to direct the slasher, with Prisoner's Aaron Guzikowski writing the script. The film is, according to producer Brad Fuller, an origin-ish story. The new script is said to be focused on the family, including Pamela Voorhees and even Jason's father, Elijah. As always, we'll keep on top of this story and bring you updates as we get them. We'd like to bring you this story on the Phantoms at the Opera House Paranormal Hunt and Investigation in McConnellsville, Ohio. Come join us November 12th as we investigate the haunted Twin City Opera House. We'll also be collecting brand new teddy bears at this event to support Cuddles for Cancer. Note, bears must be brand new with tag. There will be a limited amount of K2 meters available for rent. T-shirts will also be for sale at the event. Special guests include Brandon Kreitzer, the Paranormal Road Warrior, Paravisions, Looking into the Unknown, and Keith Age, the Outlaw Ghost Hunter. This is a public paranormal hunt and investigation at a very haunted opera house. You will be investigating a 500-seat theater, sub-basement, and Civil War Underground Railroad tunnel. You've always wanted to do this, right? Well, get your friends and come join us if you dare. Feel free to bring your cameras, video cameras, recorders, paranormal equipment, etc., etc. Make sure to wear proper clothing, footwear, bring snacks, water, or drinks. Note, this is an at-your-own-risk investigation. Phoenix Rising Productions, talent agency, nor Twin City Opera House is liable in the event you are hurt, lost, possessed, followed, or killed. We look forward to meeting you all. Get more information at facebook.com/hauntedoperahouse or facebook.com/PRPBKTS. We have this news from the 6th annual Maleficium Dark Art Exhibition in Chicago. Come see Chicagoland's largest Halloween-themed art show featuring over 65 award-winning artists of all media. It's our biggest show yet. Maleficium is curated by Face Off Season 4 champion and award-winning artist J. Anthony Kosar, and it's free to attend. Invite your friends. Come meet several of these artists at our exhibition opening and artist reception on Saturday, November 19th from 3 to 10 p.m. at Cosart Avec Studio and Gallery, located at 760 Burr Oak Drive, Westmont, Illinois. There will also be an exhibition closing reception on Friday, December 16th from 7 to 10 p.m., but the opening is definitely the night you want to be there. The Maleficium exhibition runs November 19th through December 16th. Gallery hours are by appointment only. Please call to schedule an appointment, 630-310-8353, or visit cosartgallery.com for directions and more information. We have a little movie news on some remakes of Universal Monster films via Collider.com. It appears like the Universal Monsters franchise will begin in earnest next with The Mummy, and the studio has hired writing for Van Helsing, The Wolfman, and The Bride of Frankenstein. Writing duties on the new Bride are being handled by Jurassic Park screenwriter David Koepp. Steve Weintraub recently spoke to Koepp for the screenwriter's latest film, Inferno, starring Tom Hanks and Felicity Jones. During their conversation, they talked about Bride of Frankenstein. Koepp confirmed that he did indeed write a draft of the script, but he doesn't know when the film is getting in front of cameras. "Yes, I wrote a draft of that, seems to have gone over very well, and I think they're figuring out their whole universe and where it'll go. They've got a few they've got to work on. There's currently no release date on Bride of Frankenstein, and we don't know yet if the film will have to wait until Universal establishes a new Frankenstein movie. The Mummy, however, is set to open June 9, 2017. We have this news from Scare LA in Los Angeles. Scare LA, the summer Halloween convention, is excited to announce the dates for its fifth year event. Faithful to its tradition of kicking off the scare season early among thousands of fright-loving fans in Los Angeles, Scare LA will return on August 5th and 6th, 2017. Debuting in 2013, Scare LA is the first fan convention dedicated to celebrating the spirit of Halloween. The event has become a mecca for horror lovers on the West Coast and beyond, extending the Halloween season through the summer. Attracting nearly 12,000 attendees in 2016, Scare LA is one of the fastest-growing independent conventions in the U.S. to date. We are thrilled to announce our 2017 dates with our favorite holiday, Halloween, just around the corner, said Laura Ivanova, Scare LA executive producer and founder. Scare LA has solidified itself as a premier destination for a fast-growing audience which loves, lives, and works in the scare entertainment industry. Built to bring people together to create and inspire, we could not be prouder of our community this season and are eager to share further 2017 plans as they unfold. Situated in the entertainment capital of the world, Scare LA spotlights the rich Southern California scare industry and community, from its iconic seasonal theme park events to haunted attractions, home haunts, theater, film, escape rooms, interactive experiences, and more. Get more information at scarela.com or follow them on social media at facebook.com/scarelacon, Twitter, and Instagram. Join the conversation using hashtag ScareLA. We have some news on a new Cloverfield movie via BloodyDisgusting.com. Earlier this year, J.J. Abrams pulled off one of the biggest surprises of the year when 10 Cloverfield Lane was not only announced, but came out with a trailer and a release date only a few months later. The pseudo-sequel to the 2008 found footage sci-fi horror film was a critical and box office success, reigniting fan interest in the franchise that spurred countless theories and conspiracies when it kicked off. Because of the smash success of 10 Cloverfield Lane, it was pretty much a given that there would be another entry in the Cloverfield universe. However, given that it was 8 years between the two that we have, no one was exactly holding their breath. It turns out that we should have been, because it's been revealed by The Wrap that the next film in the series is already in production and has a title, God Particle. Per the site, the film, quote, is about a team of astronauts who make a shocking discovery and end up fighting for survival in what is described as an alternate reality. God Particle will star David Oyelowo, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, Ziyi Zhang, Elizabeth Debicki, Daniel Brühl, and Chris O'Dowd. Produced by Abrams, it is being directed by Julius Ona, based off a script from Orin Uziel. Now, here's the other big news. God Particle is not the only movie that Abrams is working with Paramount Pictures on connecting to the Cloverfield universe. While many franchises and series will focus on expanding one character or location or event, it looks like Cloverfield recognizes that there is a whole world and more apparently to play with, so why not take advantage of that? God Particle has a release date of February 24th, 2017. We have some news from the Netherworld Haunted Attraction in Atlanta via the GwinnettDailyPost.com. If Netherworld officials get their wish, they'll soon have some new ground to haunt in the future. The longtime Halloween staple on the I-85 corridor near Norcross is asking the county's permission to move to a new location in the shadow of Stone Mountain. The move must still be approved by county staff, the Planning Commission, and ultimately the Board of Commissioners. The request was filed on October 7th and is tentatively scheduled to go before the Planning Commission in December, but county staff have not yet added their report and recommendations to the packet for that meeting. Netherworld Haunted House began in 1997 and has grown to become an award-winning, nationally recognized haunted house that it is today. Attorney Shane Lanham wrote in a letter on Netherworld's behalf, "After nearly 20 years of operation, Netherworld has decided to relocate its offices to southern Gwinnett County near Stone Mountain. There are several steps Netherworld has to go through before it can move. The county's planning staff must still make a recommendation on approval or denial of the proposal. The recommendation will be weighed by the Planning Commission when it makes its own recommendations, and the final decision rests with the Board of Commissioners. However, and that decision won't be made until around Christmas at the earliest." Netherworld owner Ben Armstrong declined to comment on the move. He told the Daily Post he wanted to focus on finishing out the business's Halloween season before turning his attention to the potential move. If county officials approve this move, it would put the popular haunted house business next to the site of the old Olympic Tennis Center. Gwinnett leaders want to demolish the center, which they are in the process of trying to acquire through a land purchase and trade, so it can be turned over to the private sector for redevelopment. The property is appropriately situated to provide convenient access for Netherworld's guests without placing an undue burden on traffic infrastructure and other public utilities, Lanham wrote in his letter to the county. A portion of the subject property has remained vacant for several years, and the proposed use is an opportunity to provide a use on an underutilized property. Netherworld is looking to move into a 9.524-acre site on West Park Place Boulevard. The property is home to two warehouses that feature a combined 52,830 square feet of space. Netherworld's current location has 40,000 square feet of space. The site zoning is currently split between light industry and general business districts, however, and the owners are asking county leaders to rezone the entire site as light industry district, since that classification allows for entertainment businesses such as Netherworld. The haunted house's owners are also requesting permission to consider some of Netherworld's outdoor activities at the new site. Some components of the proposed use occur outside the main building, Lanham wrote in his letter to county officials. Accordingly, the applicant is requesting approval of a special use permit for recreation and entertainment facility. Outdoor to permit outdoor entertainment and recreational activities associated with Netherworld Haunted House. We will keep on top of this story and bring you updates as we get them. And finally, we have some sad news regarding a horror legend via PhillyVoice.com. The strange slapdash world of TV horror hosting, Philly-born John Zacherle, was a pioneer and a legend. He passed away at the age of 98 on October 22nd. Known as both Roland and Zacherle to kids in the 1950s and 60s, Zacherle helped pave the way for Svengoolie, Elvira, and other campy TV hosts who became as much a reason to tune in as the spooky movies they were introducing. Zacherle grew up in Germantown, Pennsylvania, and went to UPenn before enlisting in the Army to fight in Europe and North Africa during World War II. After that, he got into TV and in 1957 became the host of Shock Theater on WCAU in Philly, a role that he would reprise in various forms for years to come. As Roland the Undertaker, he and his assistant Igor put on funny skits to parody the often schlocky films they were presenting. Later, he moved to WABC in New York, changed his name to Zacherle, continuing the same movie and skits model that, to modern sensibilities, sounds a lot like Mystery Science Theater 3000. His song, Dinner with Drac, was a novelty hit in 1958. After that, his resume becomes a wild ride. hosting a cartoon show, a teen dance show, and several radio shows, and appearing in several movies. He even guest hosted American Bandstand, earning him the title The Cool Ghoul from Dick Clark, and performed Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven with the Philadelphia Orchestra. The New York Times caught up with him in 2012, and Zacherly, then 94 and long retired, reflected on the crazy end to his crazy career. In the mid-1960s, he was hired to host, still as Zacherly, an afternoon teenage dance show called the Disc-O-Teen that was broadcast for 3 years. The show, think American Bandstand Transylvania style, attracted bands like The Lovin' Spoonful, The Young Rascals, and even The Doors. Jim Morrison looked at our weird set and mumbled, "This is the damnedest TV show I've ever seen," recalled Mr. Zacherly, who hobnobbed with rock legends and became a regular at concerts at the Fillmore East. He became a rock DJ on stations like WNEW and WPIJ before finally retiring in the early 1980s. Zacherly was inducted into the Broadcast Pioneers of Philadelphia's Hall of Fame in 2010. The Big Scary Show and Big Scary News wishes to extend their deepest condolences to the family, friends, and fans of Zacherly and offers up this moment of silence. And that wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home haunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
And here we go. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at the Scares of Care Weekend in beautiful Williamsburg, Virginia. Great charity event. If you ever get a chance to come to the Tidewater, Norfolk, Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, anytime in late July, make sure you get here. All the celebrities are having a good time. Lots of fans out here talking everything. Of course, the hottest thing on TV right now, The Walking Dead. Everyone's anticipating who died at the end of the last season and all this cool stuff. I have a guy that might know, but he can't tell me. But anyway, Seth Gilliam, you might know him as Father Gabriel from The Walking Dead. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Let's just be honest, you were kind of a last-second addition here, and you packed up everything, and you ran up here to Williamsburg. How's the convention been treating you for the first night?
So far, it's been pretty great, actually. I'm really glad that I came. I'm glad that I was asked to join last second. And I've met a bunch of fans here. I've had some great conversations. One guy was actually quoting back lines to me from Starship Troopers, which I think is like celebrating its 20th year. Yeah, this past June, and he was quoting me all of Sugar Watkins' lines. Yeah.
So I'm sure nobody has asked you any particular questions regarding The Walking Dead, right?
No, none whatsoever. People could care less, actually, who Negan killed.
There you go. As long as it's not you, right?
Yeah.
Do they kind of hope? How do people look at you? I mean, I watch The Walking Dead from time to time. Not a rabid fan, but sometimes I'm like, okay, that's great. And sometimes it's like, why doesn't he just die already? Do you have mixed reviews? Do people look at you as a positive or a negative to the whole thing?
Mostly, what people have been saying to me for the past few months is, I really hated your character in the beginning. I wished he would die gruesomely and quickly, but now I'm starting to like him. And to which I ask them, is it because Father Gabriel took care of baby Judith or because he shot an unarmed man in the face. And it's kind of a 70-30,
yes.
You know, shooting the unarmed man in the face thing.
So there you go. So you do know who dies, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And you can't say a word.
No, I
can't. I understand. That's fine. So tell me how you got started in acting. I mean, were you one of those guys that did, like, summer stock or took college theater in college and all that, worked your way up commercials, theater work into the stage and screen? Or
I got started. I went to the High School of Performing Arts, and then from there I auditioned for a theater training program at SUNY Purchase, which is in Purchase, New York, about 45 minutes north of Manhattan, and studied theater there. I'm actually a trained actor, and was lucky enough to get a job a week after I graduated in Shakespeare in the Park. It was one of the last shows that Joe Papp himself sat in on the auditions and gave the stamp of approval to.
Which play?
It was Richard III.
Ooh.
It was Denzel Washington's return to Shakespeare after 20 years. And I played Prince Edward of Wales. And it was pretty exciting. I actually, in the first rehearsal, the first read-through, Denzel Washington had just won the Oscar for Glory, pretty much two nights beforehand. And when we were doing the read-through, he had mentioned that he hadn't done Shakespeare in some 20-odd years, and the last time he did it, he had carried a spear at Shakespeare in the Park. And he was kind of nervous about it. And I wound up offering to help him run lines in the stairwells of the public theater, which was fantastic for me because, you know, he was one of my idols, and he had just won an Oscar, and he was a brilliant actor. And
was this before he did Much Ado About Nothing?
Yes.
I see.
Okay. Yes. He played Richard III, and as I said, it was his first time doing Shakespeare in 20-some-odd years,
right.
And I think he mentioned, if I'm remembering correctly, the last time he had done it before that, he had, like, 8 lines, and then he was playing Richard III, which is one of the largest roles in all of Shakespeare.
That's a wordy part.
Yes, it is, yeah. It's pretty exciting. And then I had a similar experience because I did that, and I did a couple other Shakespeare shows with the public theater after that. But then it had been about 20 years since I did Shakespeare again, and I was doing playing Othello at with the Commonwealth Shakespeare Company in Boston. And one of the kids who had just gotten out of school came up to me and said, "Mr. Gilliam, if you ever want to, you know, run lines," and I told him the Denzel Washington story. So it's pretty cool.
Very cool. How did you get a role like Starship Troopers?
That was my agent sent me in to meet with Paul Verhoeven for the role of Johnny Rico that Casper Van Dien
really?
Played.
That's
yeah.
Interesting.
And
we've had Casper on the show.
Oh,
so
have you really?
So,
yeah, Casper is like indefatigable energy. Casper, he reminds me actually Tyler Posey, who plays Scott McCall on Teen Wolf on MTV, reminds me very much of Casper Van Dien.
Is it the chin?
It might be the chin.
Right,
kind of superhero jawline and just, you know, tireless, upbeat energy guy. You know, so it's cool how things kind of come around in circles. You know.
And now you're on The Walking Dead. Was
yes.
this also one of those, your agent sent you this, or was it kind of a, I've got to be a part of this. This looks really darn cool.
Well, I hadn't watched the show. I'm not big on so much on gore and horror. I frighten easily.
Which makes you wonderfully exploitable at a horror convention.
Yes, completely.
I'm ashamed that I probably should tell people this, but I don't know if I should.
Yeah, you know, please hold on to it. You know, no one's listening, right?
Oh, of course not.
Yeah.
Nobody.
It's just between you and I right now. So, yeah, I'm a scaredy cat. But, yeah, I went in on an audition, and I read for Scott Gimple, who's the showrunner and one of the head writers and producers on the show. And apparently he and Robert Kirkman were big fans of The Wire, another show that I'd done. So they had some pack to try to get as many actors from The Wire on their show as possible.
See.
And so I'm very fortunate.
So that's the feeder into The Walking Dead, so it's been interesting.
Yeah.
And how is it being on the number one rated show on TV, basically? I mean, are you, you know, did you ever expect it would get that big?
I, you know, by the time I came on the show, it was already just
yes.
a massive, massive hit. And I'm more accustomed to doing shows that people find after they go off the air. You know, so this has been a very different experience for me, being on something while it's, you know, a raging phenomenon, you know.
And do you regularly do the convention circuit?
I have been getting out more in the past year and a half or so, but, you know, to tell you the truth, I had no idea that there was such a thing as a convention circuit for horror shows or for TV shows or films or anything else. I watch two or three shows on my own. I watch a lot of sports programs and nature shows. So this has all been like a brave new world for me.
They do have sports conventions, you know that, right?
I did not know that. Sports conventions.
Well, sports cards and collectibles, memorabilia, really? Legends tours, and
wow,
things like that.
I could go and like meet Rusty Staub, Le Grand Orange from the Mets.
That's a possibility.
Wow, that would be cool.
You never know.
Yeah.
So since you're out of New York, you just might find in somebody.
Yeah, yeah, that would be great.
So without giving any spoilers away, what have you got anything else coming up in the near future other than Walking Dead?
Well, Jeff Davis, who is the creator of Teen Wolf on MTV, just announced yesterday at the San Diego Comic-Con that this is going to be our final season. So we've got another 10 or 11 episodes left to shoot of that. We go back to that in August, and I'm hoping for some kind of wild send-off for Dr. Deaton on that show. But between that and The Walking Dead, I really haven't had any time to do anything else. I'm very fortunate to not have time to find more work.
So what you're saying is you might not die in the first or second episode of next year.
Well, thankfully, Father Gabriel is off in Alexandria while everyone else is outside of the friendly confines of Alexandria. So I think he's safe for at least the first half of the first episode.
But never say never, because this is just one of those unusual shows where anybody could just die at any time, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's like, you know, meanwhile back at the ranch, they're overrun again. And
you're not buying any real estate at this point and fancy cars and all that.
No, I'm not. It's The Walking Dead, not The Walking Hang Around for three or four or five seasons.
And just enjoy the ride while you can, right?
Yes, yes, indeed.
For people wanting to get more information about Seth Gilliam, whether you're hitting some conventions later on in the year, Walker Stalker Con, I'm sure, has probably been a thing with you, and some other things going down the road. Do you have a website or media, social media presence where people can contact you or find out more information?
I do not have a website or anything like that. I've got a Twitter thing.
No Twitter account?
Seth Gilliam on Twitter.
Are you verified?
I am verified.
Ooh, it's all about the blue check.
Yeah, thanks to AMC.
Everybody wants that blue check.
We'll be doing a Walker Stalker benefit in Orlando, I believe September 17th, for the victims of the horror that went down there, with all proceeds going to various organizations to help the wounded and the recovering. And I'll be at the Salt Lake City Comic Con sometime towards the end of August. And so from then, nothing else is coming to mind. I'm sure I'm doing other things, but right now I'm drawing a big fat blank.
Well, that's all right. They can always check with you on Twitter at @TheSethGilliam.
@TheSethGilliam, yes.
Excellent. Seth, it's been an absolute pleasure to see you here at Scares That Care. I know, again, a last second thing, but a lot of Walking Dead fans here, and they're swarming you here, it looks
yes.
like.
Yes, they are. It's been a beautiful beautiful thing. I'm really glad that they invited me and that I was able to come.
Well, fantastic. I'm sure everybody will be looking for the further adventures of Father Gabriel coming this upcoming season here. But in the meantime, we're here at the Scares That Cares Convention, Williamsburg, Virginia. My name is Drew Badger for The Big Scary Show, and we are out. As we mentioned in the news earlier, legendary horror host Zachary Lee passed away a couple of weeks ago at the age of 98. We'd like to play you his song, Dinner with Drac. We did a little tribute on The Big Scary Show. The Big Scary News would now like to honor him in that same way.
Dracula's house by the sea. The hors d'oeuvres were fine, but I choked on my wine when I learned that the main course was me. The waitress, a vampire named Perkins, was so very fond of small gherkins, while she served the tea, she ate 43, which pickled her internal workings. The scalpels go on the left with the pitchforks. Igor, Igor. What a swimmer is Dracula's daughter, but her pool looks more red than an otter. The blood stains the boat, but it's easy to float, 'cause blood is much thicker than water. Old friend, how are things in Transylvania? For dessert, there was batwing confetti and the veins of a mummy named Betty. I first frowned upon it, but with ketchup on it, it tasted very much like spaghetti.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Big Scary News. We wish to thank Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor, www.froggiesfog.com. Remember to listen to the current Big Scary Show for even more news and information, including the Haunt Minute, Face Your Fears, great music from the Haunt Rocker, and the soon-to-be-famous Round Table of Terror. Get all that and more only at bigscaryshow.com. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is Drew Badger signing off for the Big Scary News.